Daf is Daf Chaf Gimel. So let's take at the bottom of Chaf Beis. I mean Beis, the last three lines. Gemara raises an interesting question. A lot of the things in the Masechta are not so nogea to us, but it's a question nonetheless. So the Gemara says, "Ibaylu mahu la'ashen." What's the halacha regarding smoking? Not smoking a cigarette, but referring to smoking. They used to smoke their fruit. Rashi explains, "Mahu la'ashen peres ba'ashan b'samim liklot ham habosem." They'd have some incense or something, and then they'd have the fruits in the area of the smoke of the incense, and it would garner some of the smell and change the taste. So is that allowed on Yontif? Could you burn the ketores or b'samim on Yontif? So Gemara says, "Is machlokas amaram Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba amar Rav Aser Ushmo amar Mutter." So what's the machlokas here? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi explains here five lines up. Aser the tifnok yaseru. This is like an extra level of fanciness, if you will. The ain shavel chol nefesh el istis is only for particular people who want a special flavor, a special smell of the fruit. Unique individuals like it this way. Ubahaya oshen ika av mocha, and it's involving a malacha. And we're going to see in a moment what the melachas are. So since it's not shavu l'chol nefesh, it falls back, it does not have the heter of ochal nefesh, it falls back to being a melacha. So therefore it's also according to the opinion of Rav. But Shmuel said, Shmuel felt this was mutter. Why is it mutter? So Rashi says, Shmuel amar mutter, it's mutter, to ochal nefesh, or this is ochal nefesh, this is shavu l'chol nefesh. The roy aflanim, even anim would love to have such fruit. However, elashen matzul hem, they don't have the wherewithal to spend money on the besamim. But they would want it, and that's considered shavu l'chol nefesh. So that's the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, whether this is considered shavu l'chol nefesh. So either way, the premise was that it's based on a particular av melacha. What is av melacha? So Rav Huna Amar Aser Mipnei Shemechabe. It's mechabe. It's extinguishing. What's it extinguishing? So Rashi explains here. It's extinguishing the besamim. It's extinguishing the besamim. The besamim turn out. Gemara is going to elaborate a little bit more on this in just a moment. And Amar Le Rav Nachman V'nei Mamar Mipnei Shemavir. Why are we concerned with the extinguishing? Why aren't we concerned with the burning of the besamim, that you're creating a fire as opposed to extinguishing the fire? So Gemara explains as follows. Amarle tchilaso mechaba v'sofe mavir. Initially, there's actually you're extinguishing, and then later on it ends up burning, it creates a fire. So they're both true. The truth is they're both relevant. And Rashi explains they're both relevant. Tervayu havibo. They're both, there's a mechaba and there's mavir, except on a kama kama nakti. We're choosing the first one. So I guess somehow burning the besamim, initially it starts extinguishing it, and then it starts burning, it creates a fire. So they're both relevant malachas, and even since it's not shavu l'chol nefesh, it's a violation of malacha on yantif. So the Gemara just elaborates a little bit more now on when it's true, when there's mechab and maver, when is there not. How does it work exactly? How do you burn besamim? What's the process? So Amar Yehuda agabe gacheles aser. If you place the besamim on gacheles, on a coal, so that both are relevant, because you're actually being mechabed the gacheles, you're extinguishing the coal, and then that coal in turn creates a fire, and it starts burning the besamim. So they're both true when it comes to gacheles, using that as the catalyst for creating the smoke. But if you put it onto now daf chav gimel al gabe cheres, you put it onto hot pottery, that's mutter, because you're not burning the pottery. The pottery doesn't get extinguished. Rashi explains, you put the pottery in the oven, it's burning hot now, you take the pottery out, you put some besamim, it creates the smoke now. So there's no mechab, you're not extinguishing, there's no fire to speak of by earthenware, just very hot. So there's no kibui. And Rashi says it's also not an issue of havara. Look at Rashi, mutter de kibui leka. There's no fire that you're extinguishing, it's just heat. And havar nami ayde shinoi. This is burning besamim through a shinoi kila achayad v'leka isur deraisa. And since it's only an isur midirbanan of being mavir the besamim, in that you're doing it b'shinoi, this would be entirely mutter on yantif. So comes along now. Rabba Amar agabe cheres nami aser. He argued and he says that even on top of cheres would be aser. It's not a problem of mavir. It's not a problem of mechaba. There's a third concern here. Mishum de kamolid recha. You're creating a smell. Rashi explains. The kemolid recha shenichnas becheres shelo haya borech. There's no smell, there's no scent in the cheres, but you put the besamim on, you created now a new smell of the earthenware, that's asim midirban and iser of molid. You can't create new things on yantif. She molid davar chadash karavu l'osim malacha chadash. It's like a new malacha, it's almost like a malacha, and therefore it's a violation. So it's interesting, when it comes to yantif, for example, yantif, if you have already an existing fire, you could raise the fire, you could transfer the fire, that's allowed actually. But what you can't do is you can't start a new fire, you can't strike a match, you can't turn on your pilot. That's also, that's called molid. So even though it's actually only an isser midrabanan, havar is allowed, but molid's not allowed. Molid, some type of, it's similar to malacha, and that's why it's aser. So then the Gemara says further, it's actually interesting din here, based on this Rashi here, there's a machlokas in the poskim whether or not you're allowed to be molid recha when it comes to food. Apparently, for Birchas Kohanim, they like to scent the water before washing the hands of the Kohanim. So they put some type of besamim in the water to make it very nice. So there's discussion in the poskim, are you allowed to do this on Yontif or not? Is that permitted on Yontif and Shabbos? So the Taz says, you're not allowed to do this on Yontif. It would be entirely usur to be molid recha to the water, to put some smell and scent in that water. That would be usur. However, the Shar Melch tries to learn from Rashi here that it's mutter. Because Rashi here says, what's molid recha? The molid recha is in the cheres, in the earthenware. That's a problem. Why does he not say the molid's on the peros? You're putting the whole point of this Gemara here is to put smell into the peros. Why didn't the Gemara say it's molid reich on the peros? Must be Rashi thinks there's no problem with molid reich when it comes to food. Food's not subject to molid reich, and therefore you can scent the water if you wanted to on Shabbos or Yom Tov. That's the chiddush of the Shar Melech based on this Rashi. Either way, back inside the Gemara now, so there are three concerns here when it comes to smoking. It comes in mavir, mechaba, and molid reich. So Gemara now says two lines down. Rabba, Rav Yosef, Damar Tevayu, both of them hold. Schufe kasa ashir biyomtav aser. So what does that mean? So Rashi explains, schufe kasa ashirai, lachbos kos mevusam al hashirai mishal malbush. If you take a cup that's full of, that's a scented cup of some sort, there's smell in it, there's perfume in it, you put it on some of the extra cloths of a malbush, lahachnis behem reach bosom shibikos, in order to infuse the cloths with smell, that would be aser. So why is it aser? My time, amishim de kamol recha. The same idea. You're being mol recha. You're adding smell. That's why when it comes to people who wear perfume and cologne, you're allowed to pour spray on your skin. That's allowed because that doesn't last a very long time. But the spray on your clothing, that actually lasts a long time. That's a problem of kamol mol recha. So Gemara then says, so why is that allowed? Maishna, why is it any different? Mimola umeriechbo. Let's say you have some type of, something that grows from the ground that smells nicely. I don't know a good example. But let's say cinnamon. The cinnamon smells nicely. I don't know if you could do this, but if you rub the cinnamon, let's say, for example, that creates smell. That's allowed in Yontif. Alternatively, there's another way to create smell that's allowed. The kotmo umeriachbo. Let's say you have you cut the top of the cinnamon and you smell that. That's allowed on Yontif. Isn't that molid recha? So why is that allowed? Either rubbing the cinnamon or cutting the top of the cinnamon. That's allowed. Isn't that being molid recha? Why would that be different than this case, which is also putting smell into the cloth? The Gemara explains, Hasam Recha Mia Isa. The cinnamon had smell. You're just creating more smell, but it always had smell, as opposed to here, this case here, but Mia Isa Vosifa Hu Dekamosif, there, Recha. You're just adding smell, you're just generating more of the smell that existed in that cinnamon. Hacha, here by the cloth, there is no smell at all. Cloths have no smell. Olida Hu Dekamosif Recha, you're creating something new, a new smell, and therefore to scent clothing would be also, that's a new din. When it comes to just revealing, exposing the existing smell, that's allowed. So then the Gemara says, Rava Amar, Agabe Gachelas Nami Mutter. He argued on all this, and he says, you actually can place Besamim on coals. This is how he Paskin actually is brought down by the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch. You're allowed to do so. Why? Midi to have a Basra Agumi. It's no different than meat. If I take a piece of meat, I put it on top of a coal, that's going to extinguish the coal, right? It's going to burn the meat, right? It's going to create smell, the barbecue smell, into the meat, and yet that's certainly allowed. So just like putting meat on a coal is allowed, even though the three issues, Isurim, are there, so too, when it comes to placing besamim on a coal, is also entirely mutter, based on the placing of a piece of meat on coal. Marnal says, Darish Rav Gvia mi bei kasil. That's where he came from, this place, Beikazil. And Rav Gvia was darshening a pischa de Beresh Kalusa. He was darshening in the entranceway to the house of the Resh Kalusa. And he says, Keturah Shari. Keturah is permitted. Now it's unclear what Keturah meant. So Amar Le'a Meimar, my Keturah. When you said the word Keturah, it has two different definitions. It could either be Keturah as in Ketores, like we've been discussing the smoking, the incense. Or it could be referring to Keturah in Aramaic is actually Kesher, tying a knot. So what was he referring to? So my keturah, e keturah biyadi, is referring to tying a knot with your hands. And Rashi explains when it came to weaving, weaving a cloth, you have to tie the ends of it. That's my seumanu. That's certainly aser. That's a craftsmanship, and that would be a special. That would be a kesher shakrema. That would be aser. How can you say it's mutter? Vila ashin, if he's referring to the smoking that we've been discussing up until now, the kedores, that's also aser to hakam the chavik because you're extinguishing the coal. So no matter how you slice it, it's aser. So how could Rav Gvia paskin that the ketora is a mutter? So Amarle Rav Ashi Liolam Laashen Mide De Havi Abisra Gumri. No, he says in Mutter, just like we saw at the end of that conversation, Rava said you're allowed to place Ketores, you're allowed to place Besam on Gacheles, it's Mutter, just like the Basar. Here's why, Paskin, you can place meat on a coal, we're not concerned of Mechaba, we're not concerned of Mavir, we're not concerned of Kamala Recha, so too you can place Besamim on the coals as well, and Ketora refers to Ketores, and therefore Mutter. Ikadami, others have the discussion going. Amale Ameimar, my Keturah, what did he mean when he said Keturah? I Keturah bide maise biyade, referring to tying a special crafted knot. That's maise umanhu, and that would certainly be aser. Ila ashay, and that's also like we said, the Kamala Recha. So Amar Vashi, ana amrisa nehele, umishme de gavuraba, amrisa nehele. The Yom La'ashen, Umid de Havi Abisa Gumre. So same exact thing. He's referring to smoking, and just like meat's allowed to be placed in a coal, so to the Besamim can be placed in the coal. Just a slightly different version of how this was presented, but the same exact psak in the end of the day. So now the Gemara quotes we had from the Mishnah the other day, V'osin Gedim Makulas. The Mishnah had said this machlok is between, I think it was Rabbi Huda, and the Chacham, whether or not the night of Pesach you could have a Gedim Makulas, a full Gedim. Because in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the Karban Pesach was a gedi, and they had the whole thing roasted whole, so that would be how the Karban Pesach was done. So if I were to do this now, Bisman HaChurban, would that be an Isser, because it looks like I'm eating Kachin B'chutzra, or that's permitted? The Tanna Kamma felt you're allowed to have Osen Gedi Makulis Leil Pesachim, but Chachamim says Aser. The Gemara now quotes a Brisa, Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Todas Ish Romi, he was a Roman individual, Hinegetz B'nei Romi Lechel Gedi Makulis B'Leil Pesachim. In his community, he had led the pack, and he taught that you can actually have a gedim makulos. That's how he paskined in Leil Pesachim. Shalchulo, they sent a message to Todas Ish Romi, Ilmale Todas Ata, had you not been Todas, which some say he refers to as a very, Rashi said, a chacham gadol of a nichbad, who was very respectable, a very wise individual. Others say he was very strong, I forget the lashon they use here, and the Gemara Pesachim. But either way, he's a strong, aggressive individual. He's a bully of some sort. So some ilmale todas ata gozrein alecha nidoy. Had you not been todas in your position, we would have been gozer nidoy on you. Shata machil es bnei Yisrael kachim b'chutz. You're serving kachim b'chutz. You're giving a gedim akulos. You're serving a karm pesach. The people outside of the Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, a kachim sakad aitach. He's serving kachim. He wasn't shechting. This wasn't a karm pesach. He just took a whole gedi and ate it whole. It's giving the impression as if they are eating a Karban Pesach b'chutz. Of course they're not, but it looked that way because of Maris Ayin. Had you not been who you were, we would have been gozer nidoy for doing such a thing, but we can't because either you were well-respected and you're chacham gadol or you're correct in the halacha, or because we're scared to be gozer nidoy on you. That's how the Maisa goes. The new Mishnah tells us, Shlosh Dvarim Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah Matir. There are three things that Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah Matir, he permitted, the chacham osim. And chacham in response to that, said this was prohibited. What are the three things? Paraso, Yosef, Ritzua, Shebein, Karnet. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had one cow, and that one cow would go out with a little Ritzua, a little strap of some sort between its horns, and that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah felt was permitted, and Chacham said it was Aser. What's a machlokas here? So Rashi explains here, Ritzua, Shebein, Karnet, Lenoy. It was some type of way of dressing up his cow. Some people like to dress up their dogs, like in sweaters. So he dressed up his cow with a little fancy thing between his horns. The Amar says, Rashi, Rabbanan, Masayhu, Ve'eno, Tachshila. That's called a tarring. That's not called a tachshit. You're allowed to wear tachshit, and you can wear jewelry, and even though there's no Erev, but to carry something without an Erev, that's Aser. So the animal chok is, was this Ritzua considered a Masoy in Aser? It's considered carrying the animals, carrying that, even the animals have to rest? Or no, that's considered a tachshit. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah felt it was a tachshit, and therefore Mutter, but Chacham argued and thought it was a Masoy in Aser. Number two, didn't they argue on? A type of combing. Can you comb an animal? Yantha will see the details of this, but there's a concern that certain types of combs, certainly if they were small, sharp, they would create chaburas. It was causing scratching and bleeding in the animals. So therefore, Chachamim thought it was usher to use such a brush, a comb. And Rav Elazar ben Azariah felt it was mutter. And the third point was v'shochkin as a pilpalin b'richayin shalhen. They had special types of mills, the grinders. Rav Elazar ben Azariah felt that was permitted on Yantif to grind these types of pilpalin with this v'richayim. And Chachamim felt this was usher. It was too much of a specialized utensil. So these are three debates between Rav Elazar ben Azariah and the Chachamim. So then comes along with Yehuda. Rabbi Huda Omer, and that second din, Rabbi Huda Omer, ein mekar din es a behema, b'yamtav mibnei she'ose chabura. He says you cannot use these sharp combs because it causes bleeding on yantiv. Aval mekar tefin, but you're allowed to do mekar tefin, which are combs which much wider, thicker ends, bristles, which will not create chaburas. Chacham Omer, Ain makardin aflo makartvin. You can't use makardin, the sharp ones. You can't even use the dull ones, the thicker ones. That would be us as well. And we're going to explain this three machlokas in the Gemara in just a moment. So now, in the first point of the first machlokas here about the para of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, so Gemara says lemeimer. Is this to suggest that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had the para havile? He only had one cow. He says parasoso shall Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He had one cow. He surely did not have one cow. Look how many cows he had. The Gemara says about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that v'hamarav v'amrile amar Rabbi Yehuda amarav tleisar alfe egle. That's 13,000 cows or calves. Have a maaser Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah me'edro. He would separate as ma'aser behema 13,000 cows kol shasa v'shasa. That means he had 130,000 calves born each year to him. That's an incredible, large size of cattle. And so how does the Mishnah simply say he has one par? Said about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he's the Gemara Neuma that says, if a person thinks he's so rich, he has no time to learn, there's no way you're richer than Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and he certainly had plenty of time to learn, so don't give me any excuses. So either way, he had certainly one much more than just one cow. So what does it mean, paraso? He had his cow, Yotze Beretzua. So the Gemara says, Tana, lo shelo ha'isa. This was not his cow, actually. Elo shel shechinasa ha'isa. He had millions of cows. His neighbor had one cow. So his one, the one cow, the neighbor, mitoch shelo micha ba nikra rasha, ashma rather, because he didn't protest his neighbor, he didn't stop him from going out. Because like imagine, you live next to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he's got millions of cows. So you have one cow, you have to take pride in your one cow. So he dressed up as cow, he put on a sweater, he put on a little fancy thing. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah should have told him, you know, it's best not to do that. And since he didn't reprimand him for doing so, so it's called his cow. It was must have been done in the permission with the license of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to do so, and that's why it's called his par. So look at an interesting question in Tosos here. Tosos writes, Tleisar alfa egli hava maiser Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, 13,000 calves every year. The Tema. V'har Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah haya achar churban habayis tuva. He was many years after the churban beis hamikdash, and he goes through a whole history lesson. We have to go through the whole history lesson, but he was much he made many takanas which were based on churban beis hamikdash. And if you go down a few more lines in Tosos, there the first four lines va'amrinan around seven lines up in Tosos va'amrinan bibechoros de la'achar churban nispatel ko meiser behema. Because the way Ma'aser Behema worked is you'd have to bring it as a carbon. Now, there's no Beis HaMikdash. So what do you do? So there would be, you separate Ma'aser Behema, you wait till it gets a Ba'amum, and then you would eat it. So you can eat it as a Ba'amum. But if they're not Ba'amum, you have to keep it as a Hektish. So it became very tricky to keep animals if they're Hektish, there's no Beis HaMikdash. So a few years after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, they're in Nispatel Ma'aser Behema. So why in the world is Rabbi Elazar, who lived many years after Churban Beis HaMikdash, why was he still being Mafresh Ma'aser Behema? So Tosafot gives three different answers. Tosafot says, V'yesh lomar, delo nispatel la'alter kim la'achar zman. It doesn't say that they immediately after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that they're nispatel. It could have been a couple hundred years afterwards. So Rabbi Elazar lived in that Tukufa where they were still being Mafresh Ma'aser Behema, even though the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. That's one answer. Second answer is, Inami, apotropis shel Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, shaya b'mei habayis, ha'maaser. Yes, granted, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, when he made his takanas, that was after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But he may have been alive during the Beis HaMikdash. He was just a young boy, maybe been 8 years old when he had the Beis HaMikdash. So he wasn't able to be mafresh on his own. He was too young, but he inherited an incredible size of cattle. So his apotropis, the one who was watching over him, the caretaker, was one who was being mafresh during this Mana Beis HaMikdash, even though Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a young boy at that time. And the third answer, he says, Inami lav dafka maisi. He really wasn't separating maisi behema. Elashaya nosin lemelech b'choshana ha'esiris. He was just giving it. Should really be that gears should be changed, I think, there. But they changed it too. I'm not sure they changed it too. Either way, he wasn't giving maisi behema. He was giving taxes. He was paying taxes to the king every few years. And that's what I was referring to. But we're just trying to prove from here that he had certainly a massive amount of cattle. And it wasn't just one cow. Back inside the Gemara now, the Gemara says, Mekardin es behema b'yomtif. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you could use the sharp combs. According to Behuda, we said you cannot use the sharp combs, but you could use the thicker combs, which are not very sharp. And Chacham in the Mishnah says you can't use any type of comb. So the Gemara explains, Tanur Rabbanan ezu karid, ezu kartif. What's the different types of combs? Karid ketanim, very small bristles. Ve'osin chabura, they make chaburas, they scratch, they're so tiny and they're sharp. Kartif are gadol, much thicker ones. Ve'enosin chabura, they do not create a chabura. And Gimel Machlokos B'davar, the three debates here that are taking place. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Davar Shein Meskavin, Asr. Even though when I comb my animal, I don't intend on cutting him, it's Davar Shein Meskavin, it's still Asr. He paskins Davar Shein Meskavin, Asr. Miu, Karad Katanima, only by the karad, the small bris, the sharp ones, Ve'osin Chabura, is there a concern of Davar Shem Iskavin, that's Asr. But Kartav, Gedolim, Ve'inosin Bel Chabura. The big thick bristles do not create Chaburas, there's no concern. It's not even Davar Shem Iskavin, nothing will happen, it will not cut. So therefore, Kartav is Mutter, and Karad is Asr, because Davar Shem Iskavin is Asr. Then he says, "Velo gazir and kartif altu kard." We don't say, "Oh, since we allow this, it's if we assert this one, we should ask the other one." We don't make a gzeira. There are two different types of combs. We're not going to get concerned. Rabban Savri, Namik Rabbi Huda, he holds like Rabbi Huda, Davar Shem Iskavin is assur, and that's why you can't use the sharp ones. You can't use the kard. But once you can use the kard, gazir and kartif altu kard, they assert even the thicker bristles, even though really the kartif is allowed. But they're concerned if you allow the kartif, you can use the kard, and therefore he assert all types of combs. And comes along now the third opinion, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Savar Lak Rabbi Shimon. Davar Shem Iskavin is Mutter. And therefore, not only is Kartif allowed, but even Karad is allowed because it's Davar Shem Iskavin, and that's Mutter according to the Shita Rabbi Shimon. Not Psegresh, exactly. Ubein Karad, Ubein Kartif, Shari, and therefore all types of combs are allowed. So Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Amar Ila, others say Amar Rav Nachman, Lechudei, he himself, Halacha, Rabbi Shimon. We pass like Rabbi Shimon that Davar Shem Iskavin is Mutter. Sharei Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Modilo, he admitted him. So you put the two together. So then Amar Lei Rav Rav Nachman Vleima Mahalacha Rabbi Huda Shrei Chachamim Modilo. So the same thing. Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Huda that Davar Shem Iskavin is Aser. So why are we embracing the Shita of Rabbi Shimon because of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? We should embrace the Shita of Rabbi Huda because the Chachamim hold like Rabbi Huda. Amar Lei Ana Rabbi Shimon Sfirlei. I hold like Rabbi Shimon. The Ode, not only that, Sherei Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Modilo. So he's saying that he personally, that Rabbi Shmuel himself, or Rabbi Nachman himself, rather, he passed on Rabbi Shimon. And not only that, he's in the same camp, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is found in the same camp, and therefore he concluded that we should pass on that way, even though Chachamim felt like the Rabbi Huda is the right Talach. So now the Gemara says in Amud Beis, now going to Amud Beis, at the top of the Mishnah there, HaRechayim Shel Pilpulim Timeah. Mishum Shlosha Kalim. When it came to these different types of mills, there are three types of, three parts of the mill. If I'm understanding correctly, there's the bottom part which catches the, whatever's being crushed. There's something in the middle which is a type of sifter, which when you grind things, it would help sift between the small and bigger pieces. And then there's a top piece which was the grinder itself. So again, there's a top part, the bottom part which caught it, and then the middle, kind of like a sieve of some sort, was placed between these two Kalim. So the Mishnah tells us when it comes to halachas of tuma, harechayim shel pilpulin tameya, they're tameya. Mishum shlosha came, three parts are tame. Mishum keli kli kibul, the bottom one is tame because it's a kli kibul, it catches things. Anything with a kli kibul is a kli. And mishum kli matechas, it's a metal. The metal part also is tame. And that's, I think, the top part is the metal. And mishum kli kivra, and the sifter in the middle, that was some type of, it was kind of almost like clothing. It was a clothing with like holes in it woven together, so that would be also because it's a type of malbush. So Gemara explains that Tana, Tachtona Mishim Kli, Kibo, the bottom one, is because a Kli Kibo, it has catches something, it's a Kli. And so it's the middle thing, which is that sieve that's placed in the middle, Mishim Kli, it's also a Kli, it's a type of malbush almost. You could wear it if you wanted to. And the Elyona Kli Kibra, like a sieve, and Elyona, the top one, Mishim Kli Matecha, it's the top, the grinder itself is metal, and metal as a Kli, even though there's no base Kibo, is Tame as well. So the Gemara is just telling us a din. Of Dine Tumah here. Okay, next Mishnah now. Mishnah tells us a little bit more relevant. The Mishnah tells us an interesting thing about wagons and strollers. Agala shel katan. You have a wagon, a stroller of a child. It's Tumah Midras. It's subject to Tumah's Midras. What's Tumah's Midras? So Rashi explains it firstly. What is this Agala? So Agala shel katan, she'osin lo lishok. A wagon, a stroller for children to play with. But it's not for the children to play with. It's actually to play with the children. It's not to push the children around. The Yoshiva leh, the children sit in it. Umetalten osa leh. It could be like a wagon you pull the child in, or maybe even a stroller. Something that children go in that they enjoy the to take a stroller. And this is Tmei Midras. Im hatinok zov, if the child is somehow a zov, nasis ha'agala avatuma, the agala, now the wagon which holds the child, becomes an avatuma, d'muchadis li'yeshiva, because it's designated for sitting on, and therefore it's subject to what's called tumas midras, which again is tuma of tumas zov, will make that agala into tumas midras. Now, Tosus argues, Tosus does not think Rashi is correct, it's not a wagon or a stroller that a child sits in. Rashi, Tosus writes, Agala shakatan, perisha kuntris, shakatan, yoshi besalcha, v'lo nihira, this does not appear correct to me, says Tosus. The my kamashman, what's the chiddush here? Pshita, ha'ein lecha kli miyuchad godem ezeh. Why would you have to have a mishnah telling me this, that a stroller that a child goes in is a kli? Of course it's a kli. If the child goes in, that's a kli. Ein kli godem ezeh. So, lechach, nira li, the hainu kli, she'osin, lekatanim, lehislamid, lehiluch. It's those wagons that a child might push to hold on to like a walker, to teach a child how to walk. The hi omedes al shloshei ofanim, the three wheels, and the oches babayad, the child holds on to it, the handle, v'miskal gelas lefanav v'tamrin, he walks in front of him, teaching him how to strengthen his legs, how to walk. It's not that he goes in. If he goes in, that's pashut a kli. The chiddush, even a walker would be considered a kli, would be considered a galah. So back inside the mission now, for this a galah shakatan, however you define it, is tamei midras. So it's a kli, it's tamei tumas midras. And he tells us b'Shabbos, you could take it on Shabbos, which means it's not muksa, it's a kli. Veinu nigreres al agabe kelim, el agabe kelim. You cannot push it on the ground because that's going to be a violation of charitza, charish. You're making furrows in the dirt. You can only push it on top of kelim, on top of cloth, carpet of some sort, concrete, where there's no dirt. That's according to the Tanna Kamma. V'huda omer, kola kelim, ein nigrarin, chutz min agala, mipneshu koveshes. He argues, no. Normally, kelim, you can't drag kelim on the dirt. You can't drag a bench, you can't drag a couch. That creates these furrows. But in terms of a gala, a wagon, a show, that's allowed, he says. That's not called digging. That's called compressing. When the wheels go on the ground, it's not pushing away dirt. It's actually just pushing it down. It's just pressing it, making it tighter. It makes holes. The definition of charish is to dig up, to remove dirt. When wagon wheels go on dirt, it's not removing it. It's just pressing it together tightly. And that's why you have the little rows in it. That's not called charish according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Mishnah explains everything I just told you here. A galah shekatan is tumea midras. Why is it tumas midras? Deha samecha alavai. Because if someone leans on it, someone sits, someone puts his body weight, that's a definition of a kli that's subject to tumas midras. Tumas midras is defined by that which you sit on. So a chair is subject to tumas midras. A wagon's too much midras. Now, according to Tosa, it's a little bit hard to understand. Tosa says you didn't sit on this. You just would push on it. But Tosa says if you put all your body weight like a child would do to teach him how to walk, that's also too much midras. You don't have to actually sit on it. Even being somech, your body weight would also be considered something that's subject to tumas midras. Then the Gemara says, when you tell us b'Shabbos, you could take the agala on Shabbos as well. B'shem de'ika taras kli ala. That's called the kli, and therefore it's not muksa. You can move it on Shabbos. Veino nigraus ala agave kelim. You could only push it on kelim. The Gemara says, agave kelim in, agave karkala. So we can make the following deek, that you could only push the wagon over kelim, over whatever utensils or anything that's not dirt. But on dirt itself, karka mamish, that's aser. So Gemara says, my time, and why is it aser to push a stroller, a wagon on dirt? The ka'avid charich, you're making karach, you're making little ditches and furrows in the ground. So mani Rabbi Yehuda, that's not your intention though. I don't intend on doing that. Isn't that davar shem eskavin? Must be mani Rabbi Yehudi, davar shem eskavin is aser. So that's why it's aser. I don't want to make the ditch, but it's happening anyways. It's davar shem eskavin, and therefore aser. So Gemara says, because the Rabbi Shimon, ha'amar davar shem eskavin is mutter. The Tzna and the Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Shimon omer, gorer adam mita kisiv esafsel, you're allowed to drag a bench, a chair, on Shabbos on top of the dirt, umuvachli eskavin lasus charitz, as long as you don't have intention on making a dirt, making a furrow, that's davar shem eskavin is mutter to Rabbi Shimon, and to Rabbi Yehuda, that's aser. So it must be the Tanakh of Rabbi Yehuda, that's why you can't drag it on the ground. But wait a second, Ema Seifa. The Seifa says Rabbi Yehuda himself holds that Omer Eina Kol Nigrar Eina Ke not Eina what's the lashon here Ein Kol Akelim Nigrarin B'Shabbes Chutz Min Agala. The only kli that you actually can move on the dirt is Agala Mipneishu Kaveshes because it compresses the ground. It doesn't dig the ground. Mipneishu Kaveshes in Avacharitz Lo. But you can't make a ditch. So either way, we see from here that Rabbi Yehuda seems to contradict himself. So Gemara says, of the trade Tanai Valib the Rehuda. There are two Tanai, there's a machlokas, what exactly the Shita Rehuda was, and therefore they presented in two different ways. Rashi says, last Rashi in the parak here, trade Tanai Alib the Rehuda, Chad Sabraha Agala Nami Kishar Kalim, those Acharit Bigreira. So the first opinion, Tanakama, felt that pushing a wagon is no different than dragging a bench, and therefore it's Aser. Shapamim Shein Ha'ofen Miskalga, sometimes the wheels don't move nicely, who Nigrav Vechofer, you end up dragging and creating a Chafira and a Charisha. That's Aser, that's Tanakama. The Idach, the Tana, the Seifa, Rabbi Yehuda holds, Savra Lo Shchiach, it's very uncommon, Hachi, Vein Ela Kovesha Tachat Gagala, the wheels rarely lock, they continue to move, and that's not called Charisha, that's called Koveshes, and that would be permitted, Hajar Lach Yom Tov. So let's stop here and I'll quickly recap what we did. We started talking about whether you could smoke the fruit on Shabbos or not, and that's Machlok on Yom Tov, and that was Machlok in Samarayim. The concerns are Havara, Mechab, and Molid Recha. In the end, they be paskin that you're allowed to do so because we use the model of placing meat on a coal, even though it's Mechaba, even though it's Mavi, even though it's Molid Recha, one's allowed to do so. So too, when it comes to smoking the fruit, you could do so as well. Then we had the Maisa of the Gedima Kulas of the Karban Pesach that looked like Karban Pesach, that was Asri outside, could have looked like Kachim, but nonetheless told us that Ish Romi would have this practice amongst his neighbors in Rome. Then the Mishnah said the three things that Rabbi Elazar and Azariah argued in Chachamim was referring to the paraso on the ritzu on the Beina Karnea. One was the types of combs, and the third one, which we didn't discuss much, the papam rechaim, the grinding on the yontif. So he first said Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had more than one cow. He had 13,000 cows a year as mafresh each year, which means 130,000 calves are born each year to his cattle. Then we discussed the three-way machlokas about the different types of cones. The sharp cones, the Tanna Kamma felt, is aser. The thick cones are mutter. The second opinion felt that they're both aser because we aser gzeri, even the thick cones. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah felt that no, even the sharp combs are allowed because Rabbi Shimon Iskaven is mutter, and he paskin like Rabbi Shimon. And Amar Beis, we spoke about the three components of the Rechaim. They're all subject to Tumah. They all have three different purposes: the Kli Kibul, the Kibra, and the metal grinder on top. Then finally, the Mishnah about the Agala Shekatan, it's subject to Tumas Midras. It's considered clean, can be moved on Shabbos. And Machlok is whether or not you could drag it on the ground or not. Tanakhama felt you can't because it's making a charitz. The Sefer felt that you can because it's only considered Koveshes and not considered Charitza. Everyone have a good Moed.